صلى على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Tonight the 26th juz of the Quran was recited, and in tonight's Taraweeh various ayat that were recited, there are a lot of ayats that deserve attention, to be discussed, to be understood and pondered over. But obviously with the limited time that we have, we're just going to go to a few of them. There are a lot of very deep spiritual lessons in some of the surahs and ayats that we read tonight. One of the surahs that was recited was Surah Muhammad. So this is named obviously after our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But interestingly, this surah has another name as well. It's called Suratul Qital, the surah of fighting. If you look at the surah, the entire surah deals almost exclusively with the subject of fighting and jihad. This was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the hijrah, before he came to Madinah Munawwara. And this was at the time when he was expelled from Makkah Mukarramah by the Quraysh, through the relentless pressure by the Quraysh on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Muslims. They were forced to leave and make hijrah to Medina. And then Allah Ta'ala then revealed the surah. We find in hadith Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, "Bu'istu bisayfi bayna yadi sa'ah," that I have been sent with the sword before Qiyamah. Hatta يُعْبَدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهْ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ, until Allah Ta'ala is worshipped alone and no partners are associated with Him. وَجُعِلَ رِزْقِي تَحْتَ ذِلِّ رُمْحِي, and my rizq has been placed beneath the shade of my spear. وَجُعِلَ الظُّلُّ وَالصَّغَارَ عَلَى مَنْ خَالَفَ أَمْرِي, and disgrace and humiliation has been placed upon the one who opposes my matter. وَمَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ, and whoever resembles a people will be from them. So this is very often, these aspects of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his mission are overlooked. Whereas if you study the Quran, you'll find that huge, very large parts of the Quran deal with the topic of jihad and fighting. And in fact, it's fard on every Muslim. It's fard on every single Muslim, especially the male Muslims, to be skilled in fighting, to be ready for jihad at any time. And this is something, unfortunately, that has been neglected in the Ummah. That very few people, very few amongst us, have fulfilled this importance, not just the Sunnah, but this obligation of Deen. And this is something that needs to be addressed. It's not something that we can just continue leaving, because if we do, then we will face the consequences. And we are facing the consequences currently. So this is something that has to be addressed. Together with this, a Muslim has to maintain himself in good health, he has to keep himself strong, he has to learn the skills and arts of warfare, of fighting, defending himself for the sake of Deen, for the sake, and not only for Deen, but even for himself and for his family, to defend his family, his woman folk, his children, to defend the community at large. All this is absolutely necessary. And that is why we have to actually raise our children with this mindset. That we have to remove this concept of, you know, sports for amusement. But we need to raise warriors. We need to raise mujahideen. This is very, very important, especially in the times that we are living in. Another very, very important aspect of jihad and important aspect, because the objective of jihad is i'la'u kalimatillah. It is to elevate the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to its rightful position of being the authoritative structure in the world, the system of governance. And one is that this won't happen without fighting, because the kuffar are not going to allow you to just establish your system that is in opposition to theirs. We can see it happening all in the world all around us. That either you follow their way, or you get bombed, or you get attacked. You know, it's, and history has shown this, that there has never been a period ever in our history where Muslims have not faced resistance against the kuffar. It's been continuous. There has never been a let up ever in the history of humanity. So we can carry on sleeping, or we can wake up and start addressing the problem and the issues. And especially for the generations to come, we need to rekindle this important obligation of deen. The other thing is, Allah Ta'ala mentions at the end of the surah the importance of spending in the path of Allah for this purpose. So you will find that this again is a major, major problem, where the ummah has, as the hadith has mentioned, that this love of dunya has settled into the hearts. The love of luxury, of living with the Joneses, or competing with the Joneses, right? Trying to establish a certain type of lifestyle for ourselves. And in the process, deen has become sidelined. If you look at a person's, in general, there are exceptions obviously, but this is the vast majority. In general, this is how people live their lives. They live to accumulate wealth so that they enjoy the good things of life. And when it comes to spending for the deen of Allah, everyone can take their own assessment. They can do their own audit. Ask yourself, in a month, how much do I spend on luxuries, things that are not necessary in my life? Whether it's foodstuff, whether it's entertainment, whatever it may be. Whether it's our modes of transport, our cars, our clothing, our homes, everything. Ask yourself how much you've spent on things that are not necessary. And in relation to that, whatever you spent on these unnecessary things, compare it to what you have spent for the sake of Allah's deen. Supporting the institutions of deen, supporting the various avenues that Allah Ta'ala has asked us to spend in. Do a comparison. And I can assure you that when you do that, it will shock you. That you will find that you are not even spending 1% on deen compared to what you are spending for your luxuries. This is the state the ummah is in today. Whereas it's actually supposed to be the other way around. It's a huge, huge problem. And that's one of the major reasons why we are in the situation we are today. So Allah Ta'ala at the end mentions here, "Ha antum ha'ulai tud'auna litunfiqu fi sabilillah." That these people have been called to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is calling you to spend in His path. And this spending in the path of Allah, again, it comes down to it's a few factors. One is that love for dunya that has permeated the heart, that's absorbed into the heart. The other one is lack of yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala's promises. That Allah has promised that whatever you spend, you're not going to lose that money. Allah is going to replace it. In fact, not only replace it, Allah is going to increase it also. But we just don't have that yaqeen. That a person will think nothing of spending a million rand on a car, but you ask him to spend 1% of that for some dini effort. People who work in the Islamic institutions will tell you that when you go to people and ask how difficult it is to get money, well, there are exceptions obviously, but in general this is the situation. A person won't think twice about spending that amount of money on a car, when he can do with a car for half that price or even less, and it will serve the same purpose. But ask him to spend even a fraction of that in deen, and then see how many times he scratches his head and how many excuses will come out. So this is the reality. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يَبْخَلْ. So amongst you are those that are miserly. They don't want to give. When it comes to their pleasures, no problem. But when it comes to deen, there is this sickness of bukhal. In a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, and there are two things that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should seek refuge in, which always keep a person away from jihad in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-jubni wal-bukhul. I seek protection in you from cowardice and miserliness. So these are the two spiritual sicknesses in the heart that prevent a person serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are diseases that need to be uprooted, and that's why the Quran is shifa'ul lima fi sudur. The Quran is there to point out all your problems, all your weaknesses, all your sicknesses. We want to read the Quran with that understanding. That the Quran is speaking about this. Is this in my life? Is what Allah mentioning here, is it there within me? Then I have to do something about it. I need treatment for this. So the Quran is the greatest cure. But we don't read the Quran, we don't understand the Quran, and this is where our problem lies. So, وَمَن يَبْخَلْ فَإِنَّمَا يَبْخَلُ عَن نَفْسِهِ. Allah Ta'ala says, that person who is miserly, this miserliness is only going to rebound on himself. He's denying himself, or he's depriving himself of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when a person spends in the path of Allah, Allah is going to shower his blessings on him. He's going to replace whatever he spent, and he's going to give him much, much more. That's purely from a material point of view. In terms of the spiritual blessings, you can't even count that and what you're going to get in the akhirah. So, you are only, when you hold back, you are only depriving yourself. Like it comes in the hadith, that every day, every single day, there are two angels that descend into this world. And they make this dua. Allahumma aati munfiqan khalafan. Oh Allah, grant the person who is spending in your path, grant him a replacement. In other words, whatever he spent, he will get back and more. So if you're spending, you are going to be the recipient of that dua. Guaranteed. Malaika's duas are definitely going to be accepted. But then there's another angel. So there are two angels that come down. One makes that dua. The other one makes another dua. Allahumma aati mumsikan talafan. Then, oh Allah, give the one who is holding back, give him destruction, loss. So if when we hold back, that dua is definitely going to come upon us. Wallahu al-ghaniyyu wa antumul fuqara. Allah is independent. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your wealth. Those opportunities that are coming are there for your benefit. Allah is asking you to spend not for Him but for you, for yourself, for your own self. But we need to have this yaqeen. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْ يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرُكُمْ. And if you turn away, Allah will just replace you with other people who will do the work. ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. And they won't be like you. So much more to discuss. We just got caught on one ayat and time's up. Just very, very briefly, in the next, in the surahs that come, Surah Hujurat, this surah deals a lot with matters of akhlaq and character. One of the other major problems the Muslim Ummah has today is disunity. Allah Ta'ala mentions, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً, that the believers are a brotherhood. They are all brothers to one another. So we have to love one another. We have to look out for one another. We have to be there for one another. And فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. So we must always make islah. There mustn't be disputes amongst us. There mustn't be arguments. There mustn't be quarrels and fights. Now, then Allah highlights the things that cause these things. When people, لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّنْ قَوْمٍ. We should not mock one another. We should not call one another names. Insult one another. And then Allah Ta'ala speaks about ghibat also. So we don't have time to go into all the details. But if you look at all of these sicknesses and sins, whether it's ghibat, whether it's insulting one another, slandering one another, these all stem from another major spiritual sickness, which is the sickness of pride and takabbur. So we know, we over and over again we hear about the harms of ghibat. What Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam witnessed when he went on Mi'raj, he saw the people with copper nails scratching their faces. Then he saw people in Jahannam were given corpses to eat, dead corpses. These are the people who made ghibat. So we hear about all of this. But why is it that we cannot stop ourselves from doing it? And for that matter, any other sin, you will find that we know about the harm, we know about. So we make dua, we ask Allah for forgiveness even, we realize we've done something wrong, but then we return back to those sins. Why? Because the spiritual sickness within our heart that has caused us to commit that sin is not being dealt with. The takabbur that's within the heart, all those other spiritual sicknesses that are there, as long as that is not uprooted, as long as the heart is not cleansed and purified of that, we'll continue committing the sins over and over and over again. So this is something that we need to think about. There's more to discuss, but we'll have to stop there. Inshallah, Allah give us understanding and tawfiq. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.